welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. It has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the maestro, the conductor, the man behind the whole orchestra here. Can only be Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for the fine introduction. Paul is our announcer and producer for all things in the Funnel Radio Channel. We have a lot of fun because we can see each other from the studio in Southern California and our studio up in the far northwest, 2 miles from the Canadian border. Hey, Paul, today our program, we've got a great program today. The title is Time Waits for No Marketer, a GDRP compliance list from David Fowler, the digital compliance head at Acton. It's about 5 weeks and counting for every marketing department worldwide to comply with the EU's GDRP legislation. It isn't too late, but time waits for no marketer. In this program, David Fowler of Acton's compliance department gives us a list of his top compliance recommendations. David serves as Acton software head of compliance. He has over 20 years' experience in the marketing industry, including the last 12, strictly focused on issues associated with regulatory compliance. Big deal today. Digital privacy compliance, bigger deal today. Email marketing, deliverability, social media, mobile, integrated marketing, and marketing automation. Acton has been our sponsor in the past, and we've had a lot of people on our programs for them, and they've also had many people on our 40 inspirational leaders list, and so they've been a great supporter of the SLMA. David, welcome.
Thank you, Maestro.
No, you're the maestro today because as much as I read about this, I'm still learning, especially pertaining to our membership. We've probably got about 800 people in the EU, and we're scrambling like a lot of people. So today, this presentation today is pretty much me sitting back and listening while you lecture our audience and give us your list of the top compliance recommendations. Every time I read everything from the everybody that produces a list at the EU, it makes me more crazy and nervous when I take a look at the forms I've got to put in and what I've got to do, and for us it's probably minor compared to a lot of corporations. So David, the program is yours, the microphone is yours. Tell these marketers out there what they're going to have to do in the next 5 weeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for your time, and thanks for everyone jumping on today. I really appreciate it. The GDPR, or the General Data Protection Regulation, is the new universal law that comes into effect in Europe on the May 25th of this year. It was actually went into effect 2 years ago with a two-year window for companies and organizations to get themselves ready and prepared for the onslaught of the requirements under GDPR. Now, the thing about GDPR is really, when you think about it in its conceptual term, is the biggest piece of legislation that has gone through the European Parliament system in the last 20 years. So as a marketer, we've been operating under what's been called the Data Directive since 1995, which the Data Directive back then was an interpretation of certain behaviors or certain ways that marketers could actually operate within the European Union. And every country within the European Union took that directive and implemented it into their own local nuances, right? So that's why you have some countries in Europe today which are more conservative when it relates to marketing practices, etc., than others. What the GDPR does, it sends a benchmark across the entire European Union footprint for behavior as it relates to just the overall legal landscape. So it's a really big deal. And why it is a big deal is because of the fact that it creates a one law everyone at the end of the day. And here in the U.S., we don't necessarily have a fundamental right to privacy as it relates to us as individuals. In the European Union, it's quite the opposite. So the concept of the individual privacy is built in to the tenets of the European Union citizenship. So it's very, very important that as marketers, we start to think about what those rights of an individual are going to be and how we actually manage to them and how we actually build our programs and figure out what we need to do to get to the compliance point come May the 25th. Now, for those on the call today who are old enough like myself, this is not a Y2K moment, so please do not fear that come May the 25th, if your programs are not necessarily in place, you can cease from marketing, and that's not going to be the case, but you can do certain things to get yourself ready, and I'm going to talk about that today in terms of what you should be thinking about between now and the end of, essentially, with the end of May, to get yourself ready for the GDPR.
David, do you think the people in Europe are fully compliant? Have they pretty well gotten on board in the last 2 years, and it's just the U.S. and the rest of the world that's lagging behind?
No, I think it's everyone, to be honest with you. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, I've gone all over the Europe. I was in Athens a couple of weeks ago giving a presentation and to 150 marketers in the room. And the reality is that a lot of companies are kind of aware of this issue, but the actual practicalities of implementing this into a program can be very complex, right? So I think some folks are ahead of the curve than others, but the reality is that, you know, come May to 26th, a lot of companies are not going to be in that point. But the good news is, as part of the GDPR, is one of the requirements of GDPR is to be able to demonstrate, if you are asked, that you are trying to comply with the law. So what I would suspect is going to happen is once this thing goes live and people start complaining about the interpretation of GDPR as it relates to data subjects and marketing and that kind of thing, you're going to start to see some context or clarity come back in from the regulators as it relates to the overall adoption of the GDPR in its entirety.
Well, do you think that outbound email and telephones and et cetera, do you think a lot of those promotions, especially from the larger companies, will almost cease after May 25th if they don't feel like they're 100% in compliance and this is going to affect their businesses in Europe?
I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is, essentially, as a marketer, you've got to really focus on a couple of things that are really, really important. The number one thing that you have to have really buttoned up in black and white is consent. And consent from the data individual perspective is you need to prove consent on all the data that you hold the day that GDPR goes into effect. Now, what's the reality of someone knocking on your door and saying, you know, show me the consent the very next morning? It's very minimal. But the point being is there are things you can do now to prepare yourself for you know, when that day goes live. So it doesn't kill the marketing space at all. I think what it does is it actually creates a framework that we all can market better within the actual tenets of the GDPR. What it will do, I think, it will have a dramatic effect on the data rental and purchase market, because the reality is that the proof of consent, the burden of proof, relies on you as the marketer. And if you choose to go to a third party or go down the road to get data from a different source, and you can't be 100% confident that that data has been sourced in a consent and permission basis, then it will be buyer beware. And we saw the same thing happen here in the U.S. when the Canadian anti-spam legislation went into effect, in terms of the data market or the rental market dried up a little bit because it just was too much risk.
I can certainly see that. I worry about the lead generation of these corporations suddenly drying up. People in Europe or in the U.S. and their European partners not making their numbers. Everybody's scrambling and seeing a dip in business for 6 to 9 months as people comply and start building things back up again. And I know a lot of experts like yourself saying you don't think that's going to happen, but I wonder a little bit. So how should someone comply? What are your principles? What are your recommendations? And we've got about 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll have about 10 or 12 more minutes to talk about this. I know it's not a lot of time. We can always have you back again if you'd like to come back. If you don't finish today, we can have you back to talk about this again in the next couple of weeks. So the floor is yours.
That's a great question. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a 12-point checklist, and we'll take a few of them before the break, and we'll get to the rest of them after that. But the first thing you need to do is be aware that this law is going to go into effect. And obviously, the folks on the call today are being, you know, are obviously taking the time to figure that out. Now, take the information you learn, disseminate it back through the organization, right? Because GDPR doesn't just touch marketing, it touches every piece of the landscape. So be aware of your GDPR obligations, which you are now. The next big thing you need to think about is data, right? You need to have a thorough plan how you document and categorize the personal data you have on your subjects, where it came from, who you share it with, because you're going to be required to be accountable. So if you're doing any kind of third-party sharing from a data perspective, you need to have in place agreements between those organizations and your vendors to ensure that they're actually using the data appropriately within the GDPR context, and you've actually got consent from them to do so as well. So data is going to be the really, really, really big deal here. You also have data management objectives. So the things like, you know, you can't keep data for a certain period of time. You can only keep it for the amount of time that it's been requested. And we can talk a little bit about it later. But the point being is data is the driver here. The next thing you need to think about is the privacy policy that you have on your website. Think about sign-up forms, landing pages, email opt-ins, etc. All have to be changed to accommodate GDPR language. So get your privacy policy on those sign-up forms and those digital entry points. Because you've got to give a individual the opportunity to click that button, click that link, go to your website, understand the privacy policies, and understand your privacy practices.
Okay, so we've got three of these now, and we've got the others to hit when we come back. We're going to take a quick break to hear from the people who pay for these programs. We're speaking with David Fowler. He serves as Acton's software's head of digital compliance. He's answering the question, time waits for no marketer. A GDRP compliance list. Paul, over to you.
If your organization's success is driven by B2B sales, then there's a book you should be checking out. It's called Predictable Prospecting, and it's by best-selling author Mary Lou Tyler. In it, she shows you how to rapidly add qualified opportunities to your sales pipeline, ensuring consistent and predictable. Yes, we said predictable revenue growth. You can get started right away, turning your business into a sales machine. Simply download a free sample chapter and check it out at MaryLouTyler.com. That's just like it sounds, MaryLou, LouTyler.com. Predictable prospecting. Zuant is a new generation of mobile lead capture systems, one you can use at every trade show and every event, or even every day when you're out on the road to present and send videos and literature to your customers right then, right now. Looks great and eliminates the need for manually entering your leads later. Pretty smart. You can be too. Just go check it out. Zuant.com. That's Zuant.com. Zuant.com. All right, back to Jim and his discussion.
We've been speaking with David Fowler. Serves as the Acton's head of digital compliance. He's got over 20 years experience in the marketing industry. David, before we get started, tell the listeners a little bit about Acton Software, and which contributes considerably to your expertise level here.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, Acton Software is a marketing automation solution within the industry itself. You know, full service platform allows you to obviously take in vast amounts of data, lead nurture, create segmentation, and really get to understand and reach out to your prospects and customers alike. I've been with the company for almost 6 years, so we've grown it from 350 customers to north of 4,000 now, so it's great to be here.
Wow, that's a great testament. I know you guys are aggressive. I know it's a great company. I know it's got great products. So, and we're always happy to be associated to have some of your executives on our program today. When we left you a few moments ago, you were going to go through a 12-point recommendation for the compliance for GDRP, and we hit the first three, and they were being aware how data touches everything, the data plan document, and the privacy policy. The microphone is yours, David.
Thank you. So getting into point number four, one of the big tenets of GDPR is the individual rights. The individual, as I said earlier, the individual rights is based into sort of the framework of EU citizenship, and they have enhanced rights come the GDPR. Right to be forgotten, right for data portability, right to check the data they have on them, right to rectify and change things. So you're going to get requests from your prospects, your customers, to either facilitate those types of requests. And really, these are the things that are very easy to initiate a complaint with the data protection authority if you can't consummate those requests in a timely manner. So individual rights is a really big deal. Next thing you need to think about are things called the subject access requests, right? So the data subjects are going to come to you and ask you for data on them, and you can't charge for those kinds of requests. So there's a good possibility that that will happen, and you better be in a position to be able to provide that to those individuals. The sixth piece, and I think this is really, really important, is the legal basis for processing personal data. And what that means is you need to have a legal basis in place to outreach to a particular individual. And in our world, that's consent, 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 right? Permission, permission, permission. And ultimately, that's where the whole digital relationship begins, and it should at that point in time. So consent is a big deal. You need to review and how you obtain and record consent. You may be required to show that or document that if that's requested of you. So you need to have an audit trail, right? You know, Dave signed up on this day through this method, and here's the processing to do that. The big issue now is you cannot have any pre-check boxes anymore on anything in Europe. If you have a pre-check box on anything, that is not consent, and that will lead to a data protection inquiry, and that's something that you probably don't want to have happen as it relates to those types of issues. If you're marketing to children, you got to put some safeguards in place in terms of protecting the children's data, verifying age. You saw yesterday that WhatsApp in the UK up their consent from 13 to 16. I would suspect that you will see more organizations follow suit as it relates to that, those types of things. So again, children are protected just as they are here in the US, but you definitely need to verify that. If you're doing any kind of, obviously, marketing, you'll be required to have a data breach plan in place. So the new rules around data breaches in Europe are 72 hours that you have to notify as an organization within 72 hours of a known data breach. And you also have to report that data breach to the Data Protection Authority, which is basically the organization that will oversee GDPR management and GDPR compliance within their respective countries. Some countries are far ahead than others as it relates to some of their communication they've actually started doing. But the point being is that if you have a data breach and you know about it and you don't report it, that could be some cause for some pain and suffering down the road. Another concept is what's called privacy by design. If you're in the process of developing products or services, you have to implement privacy principles within the framework of your product development lifecycle. You know, so that's kind of a different sort of strategy for some folks. But the reality is that, again, with all the technology that's available today, think about a privacy assessment when you start to roll out new products and services, because that will be a requirement again. You'll hear this thing called the data protection officer. The biggest job opportunity in the European Union right now is to be the DPO, data protection officer. You may need to designate a DPO, depending if you have facilities in the EU or you're a certain size of an organization. And that DPO is a very interesting position because it's one of these jobs that, although they're on the payroll to your organization, they essentially report directly into the data protection authority. So it's kind of an extension of the authority, but actually within your framework of an organization. So you essentially have a on-site DPO or extension of DPO. So that particular individual should get particularly close with your CMO or your other types of marketing activities, because the reality is they may actually report back to the data protection authority based on what they think is either compliant or non-compliant entity. And then finally, you know, if you have a multinational organization across the European Union, if you're in several countries and you have a data protection inquiry, you need to understand which data protection officer will be responsible for foreseeing that inquiry to its end. And they have this concept called the one-stop shop, where one of the data protection officers or the authorities will be named as the lead authority, will then undertake a particular case or resolution around that. So those are sort of 12 areas that will have an impact on your business, a very high level impact on your business, but also give you some awareness in terms of what is it I should be thinking about. But the number one thing, as you jump off the call today, the number one thing to do is find out where your data is, where it resides, how it's protected, who's using it, how old it is, do you really need it for processing, and ultimately, do you have permission if you're asked to provide it? And if you don't, then you need to start thinking about repermissioning that data, because at the end of the day, the burden of proof is on you to be able to provide that documentation if it's requested of you.
Boy, that was a great, great recap. Now, David, how soon do you think this is going to come to the U.S.?
You know, that's a good question. So I think, you know, we've been talking about universal privacy legislation in America for a number of years, and we have a very secular approach to these things, right? We've got financial services privacy, we have healthcare privacy, we have children's privacy. But what I'm finding that's be really interesting is with the recent Facebook Cambridge Analytica incident last couple of weeks, I believe that has sort of cracked open, from a legislative perspective, a deeper discussion on online privacy as a yep. underlying foundation. So looking in the crystal ball, I think, you know, when a senator or you have a political environment that could be affected by a data breach or a data scrape, that has a bit of different concept than simply saying, you know, I lost 100 million records. So I think in the next couple of years, we'll probably have some form of, hopefully some form of universal privacy legislation here in the U.S., because I just think it's a common sense approach to, you know, consent is the beginning of everything, and marketing is around that as well.
Yes, I really, at one end, it bothers me to know that we have to do this. At the other end, I know in my heart we have to have something similar. There is no choice, and the sooner the better. David Fowler, unfortunately, we're out of time today. David is the Acton Software Head of Digital Compliance. He gave us a great rundown of the program today that people have to use to comply. It is very complicated because it isn't just the marketing database. It's the financial database. It's the customer database. It's a warranty database. Every database in the company is affected. David, how does someone reach you?
It's David.Fowler at act-on.net, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn at David Fowler, and obviously at Oregon Limey as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, David Fowler from Acton. Paul, over to you for our next Rooted in Revenue program.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many shows on the ever-growing Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.